Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Now back to your host, your handyman hero, Lou Manfredini in House Smarts Radio.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood.
Of Fire Prevention Month, today's show is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling at Lindeman.com and by First Alert. Protect your whole home with reliable protection you can trust.
I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
877-213-4LOU is our phone number. Before we get back to your phone calls, though, I do want to take a few minutes. I mentioned the fact that we were going to be talking with a couple of different people as it pertains to Fire Safety Month in the month of October. Joining me on the phone line right now is Michael Bodart, who is the president of the Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling Company. Michael, so nice to talk with you once again. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lil, and good morning, Lindsay. Good to be on today.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. We got a lot to talk about. Michael, you and I have known each other for a number of years, and we know that the Lindeman Chimney Company has been around for over 50 years. Before we talk about that, I do want to touch a little bit on the new business that you guys just launched, your heating and cooling company. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Lou, thanks for asking. We had thought about this idea for a number of years. As you know, the chimney and fireplace business is pretty seasonal. And we had done some fireplace remodeling projects. We do a lot of masonry projects to kind of even out our calendar year. Mm-hmm. We always thought that heating and cooling was one of those very closely associated businesses that had a little bit of counter-cyclical business model. So it was an attractive proposition for that. We are in a lot of homes every year. We realize we're in a lot of basements looking at appliance venting issues because appliances vent through chimneys primarily. Mm-hmm. We're on a lot of roofs. We're at homes all year round. And we were finding ourselves really referring a lot of heating and air conditioning issues to local companies. And we thought, you know, that is something that's close enough to our, you know, center skill set that it was something that we wanted to consider. So we had launched a program this year, hired some, you know, super seasoned veterans, some of the best in the business, brought them onto our team at the beginning of the year, and we have since launched that division. So we do full service for heating and air conditioning. We do boilers. We do all the things that are in customers' homes that are, you know, heating their homes, cooling their homes, and venting through chimneys in other ways. So it's been really good. It's been it's something that I think we probably should have started a couple of years ago, but it's going fantastic.
That's great. I mean, it's always nice to hear. I mean, certainly, you know, launching a brand new business in the middle of a crazy year like we have this year has to be a daunting task. But it is nice to hear that. That it's going well, and I think that, you know, part of the, for the, your potential clients is, you know, knowing you, and I've known you for a number of years, and I know the type of business that you run, and the care and the attention to detail that you guys put forth in your chimney business and the chimney remodeling and all that kind of stuff. You know, you can know that same type of commitment is going to be there with this new business. So congratulations to that. I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, it has been a good fit, and it was crazy. I mean, you know, we started literally March 1st. That was the plan, and everybody knows what happened in this calendar mm-hmm. year. So we were wondering what was going on, but it's going good. We've climbed out of, you know, a pretty big hole that a lot of trade companies found themselves in coming out of the first quarter. But you know, we're busy. It's incredible. All of our customers get that limited experience when they call in and get scheduled, and the follow ups and all of that has been intact. And so it's been a real boom for the business.
Let's talk about some fire safety stuff, and in particular in the news lately, I believe it was it Rachel Ray's house in New York that had a fire in the chimney and had sustained really bad damage? I know that made the news quite a bit, but this is serious stuff when it comes to making sure that your fireplace and your chimney is cleaned. For our listeners, Michael, can you give us an idea of how often that should be done? And then when it gets done, how is it done the right way?
Sure. And the story you're referring to is Rachel Ray, the personality that has a couple of cooking shows and I think some product lines. Her house experienced a chimney fire, which is an event that can happen when a chimney that is burning solid fuel, likely wood, is being used at a long enough interval between cleanings where the byproducts of that wood burning, that combustion, throws off creosote inside that chimney flue. And the creosote can itself build up to a thickness enough so that it can actually ignite and become a fuel source. So instead of just burning wood in your fireplace, the actual coating on the inside of the flue, that is that built-up creosote, can actually catch fire itself. And that event is called a chimney fire, and it's dangerous because that fire is now burning the creosote film on the inside of the flue, and it's a super hot fire, it's an out of control fire, and it can crack those flue tiles and escape that chimney envelope. And when it does that, it can take a structure down, which is unfortunately what occurred with Rachel Ray's house. So the remedy for that and why the chimney industry exists is out of an abundance of caution and safety for keeping those events from happening. So the way you do that is by having regular cleanings. So the industry, the CSIA and the NCSG say annual cleanings and inspections is the minimum interval. So folks that are burning, like in Chicagoland, they're not burning a ton of wood because they're not usually burning wood for heat. A year is fine. But if you're a warrior and you've got a wood pile out the back, like some of your neighbors up north, probably have a half an acre of wood, and they're burning, you know, cord after cord after cord, they're probably needing more than one cleaning a year because of the amount of wood that they're burning. So the rough estimate is about a cord face of wood in between cleanings. And for most Chicago customers, that's probably a year's worth. Mm-hmm. But if you're burning wood a lot, if you've got a stove, you're burning wood for heat, you may need a couple of cleanings a year.
Okay, but something I want you to touch on real quick is the fact that, okay, in that Rachel Ray example, I mean, that was something that got completely out of hand. But the majority of fireplace, like fires, right, inside of a chimney fire, that can actually be happening and go undetected, right? Because if you're not cleaning, that buildup of the creosote that you're speaking of, that could be burning in your regular fireplace on the sides, and you don't even know it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. That's a good point. We go to houses to do cleanings, right? We clean them, we inspect them with a Bluetooth camera, right? So we're looking at the interior of that flue. We do come across customers' homes that have all of the telltale signs that they've experienced a chimney fire.
Right.
Now, it didn't break out of their flue,
right,
and it didn't involve a structure, but we will see all of that expanded creosote, which looks like kind of like gray styrofoam, and we will see evidence that the top of the chimney cap got impacted or melted or blued the stainless steel because of the jet engine type of fire event that's coming out of it. And not every customer even knows that that event happens. So it's a dangerous event. It's not always a problem,
right,
where it escapes the chimney, but it does crack flue tiles. It does compromise the integrity of that venting system in a lot of cases. And it's an event that we want to really avoid by just keeping that creosote buildup to a minimum so that it doesn't ever reach the level that it can become itself a fuel source.
I want to, in closing, I want to talk about two things. One is, you and I have known each other for a long time, and one thing that I like about your approach, Michael, you as a person, is you're not Chicken Little, right? It would be real easy to come on, because this is an area when it comes to chimneys and fireplaces where, you know, people don't have an all knowledge. And it would be easy to come on here and go, oh my gosh, you got to do this all the time. And oh my God, you know, and you could be the sky is falling. You always take a very practical and realistic approach in the information that you convey. I recognize that and I appreciate that. And I know that I'm sure that your customers appreciate that too. You're just trying to keep people safe. You sent me a picture of one other unknown thing that can happen that people may not know about, and that's and I'm going to be very careful how I say this, an ash pit. And what can happen with those ash pits if those go, you know, without an inspection or a cleaning?
It's a common element, and you've seen them, I'm sure, and heard about them in the construction in a lot of Chicagoland homes, right? Masonry chimneys, mm-hmm. fireplaces on the first floor, in the basement, down at the footing of the chimney, is a great big cavity that is underneath the firebox, and that's an ash pit. A lot of people will see like a little cast iron or a little metal hatch or doorway on the floor of their firebox, where they simply sweep those ashes into when they clean their fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like one of those things that people just say, well, I'm just going to sweep these ashes in here, and I don't have to think about it. Most of the time in the basement, and it's usually behind a washer and dryer now, or behind the boiler, or behind the furnace, you'll actually see an old rusty cast iron clean-out door where supposedly you could be able to bring those ashes out. But those ash pits are huge. They're like small closets. They're, if you have an 8-foot ceiling in the basement, they're 8 feet tall. They should be built totally with brick or cinder block. They're not always. The problem is that people are sometimes cleaning fireplaces, sweeping all of the remnants of their fire into that ash pit with that brush or their tools. And there can be burning embers still remaining in the floor of the firebox.
Right.
I mean, for a day or two after you have a fire, you could have an ember. The problem is you shove those burning embers down into a confined area that drops down. And it has what? It has other embers and other partially burnt pieces of wood.
Right.
So you can have a smoldering fire in there for literally days and days that should be in a confined area that is completely masonry enclosed. But, as like in the picture I showed you, we've seen about everything inside ash pits. They're hard to look into. They're not accessible very easily. And the construction methods are all over the board.
Right.
So our blocking and tackling measure is to seal off that ash pit. We brick it over, we mortar it over, and we tell the folks, get an ash clean out bucket, scoop all your ashes into a metal bucket, and get that outside in the garden or wherever you're going to dispose of your ashes. But don't put those embers, potentially, in a confined area in your house that, you know, can have combustible materials in there with it. So it's a common problem to see, you know, wood where there should not be wood and all sorts of construction. I'm sure you've come across projects like that where you're scratching your head saying, this makes no sense.
Makes no sense whatsoever. All right, the takeaway here is that we need to get those chimneys inspected. We need to get them cleaned, and you need to contact the Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling Company, Michael Bodart, who's the president. Michael, how do they get a hold of you, both with a phone number and online?
So best way is probably online. You can just go to Lindeman.com, and that's LINDEMANN. Two ends, Lindeman.com. You can schedule an appointment instantly online right now. You can do that without a phone call. You can also give us a call. Our folks are there. We love talking to people, too, and that's 847-918-7994.
Michael, it's always nice to speak with you. My best to you and your family. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning and talking about the very critical and important work you folks do over at Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling. I hope you have a terrific rest of your day.
Thanks, Lou. Thanks, Lindsay. Have a great Saturday.
You got it. Thanks so much. That's great. Really interesting stuff. Lindeman.com if you'd like more information. You know, the harsh winter combined with a